today, prompting flooding concerns from Phoenix all the way west to the California border.
We've got an extremely moist air mass over us, and we've had rain, some very heavy rains in some areas over the past couple of days.
The Arizona Poison and Drug Information Center reports rattlesnake bites at their highest level in 3 years. Daniel Marchant's from the Arizona Herpetological Society.
We're just getting a lot more unfortunate encounters between people and snakes.
Maricopa County Attorney Bill Montgomery says new charges against Michael Crane, the man accused of killing an elderly Paradise Valley couple and then setting fire to their home.
Obviously, with hindsight, you wish you could have done more. You know, those words alone are not going to help deal with the tragedy.
Pinal County Sheriff's deputies arrest two people from Cochise County on drug charges.
They want to make money doing these kinds of activities, bringing dangerous drugs in and through our county.
George Tanner, Arizona News.
This check of your KFNX traffic, a service of Allstate. 4 o'clock hour, gang. Look for an injury accident, Arizona Avenue, south of the 202. Also in Chandler, look for a wreck, Pecos Road, west of Gilbert. In Phoenix, we have an accident on the on-ramp northbound I-17, this one at Thunderbird, and another fender bender, 35th Avenue with Thunderbird. Allstate's guarantee is simple. If you're not happy with your claim experience, for any reason, they'll make it right. The claim satisfaction guarantee only from Allstate. Here's Jim Howe with your forecast.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. Well, widely scattered showers late this afternoon, this evening in outlying valley areas and other parts of the central and southern deserts, but some could be heavy with some hail. Then we'll have more showers and thunderstorms tomorrow. We'll dry things out Friday into the weekend. Jim Howell, Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Thanks, Jim. Currently here in Midtown, we are at 88 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. You're listening to Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. I'm Chet Reynolds, and you're up to date.
Walker in concert Saturday, September 15th at the Riverside Resort in Laughlin, Nevada. From Clay's first hit, What's It to You, to his latest album, She Won't Be Lonely Long. Room and show packages to see Clay Walker at the Riverside Resort start at only $107. Call 1-800-227-3849. That's 1-800-227-3849. Or go online to riversideresort.com.
GEICO presents 15 Minutes to Building a Better Community. I'm Tom Jeans. The Wounded Warrior Project was started by veterans to help fellow service members returning home wounded from recent wars. The program initially provided comfort items, but now is a complete rehab effort assisting veterans as they transition back to civilian life. If you have 15 minutes to help, go to woundedwarriorproject.org. 15 minutes could also save you 15% on your auto insurance. Call 1-800-947-AUTO or geico.com.
Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. This is Legalese, where the law is always on your side. Now introducing your host, a longtime veteran of the courts, Dennis Willinchek.
Thank you, Chet, for the introduction. You know, I think in the legal world we call that a fraud, because Dennis Willinchek is not on the show today. This is his son, Jack Willinchek. And today we've got in studio a man who's running for county attorney in Pinal County. He is the law half of the Law and Order team with Sheriff Paul Babeau, who was just on this show last week. It's Mr. Lando Voiles. Lando, thanks for coming to the show.
Good morning, Jack. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. You know, I'll give the audience a little bit of an introduction to you. You received your Bachelor of Arts in Philosophy at Brigham Young University in Utah. You got your Juris Doctorate at William Mitchell College of Law, Minnesota. You know, we were just talking before the show. I just recently got my Juris Doctorate as well, so we'll talk some more.
And just had your first case, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Successfully? That's awesome.
Absolutely.
That's amazing.
Well, you, of course, have had many cases. For the past 9 years, you've been a major crime gang prosecutor in Maricopa County, and you've been the prosecutor in over 80 felony jury trials, and you presented more than 100 grand jury hearings. See, I'm a ways off of 80 trials. That'll be a few years. It says you've consistently maintained 40 to 100 cases, including homicide and gang crimes. And this is pretty tough stuff. This is as tough as it gets.
You know, I got to tell you, just from a legal perspective, I don't think there's anything more, I don't know how to say it, but sexy than really this kind of kind of law. It's just fun. It's really fun.
This is the tough stuff. I mean, you know, on a daily basis, I'm a lawyer, but I do like civil commercial litigation, you know, business owners yelling at business owners. But at the end of the day, everybody shakes hands and, you know, maybe some money exchanges hands, but that's it. This kind of stuff requires a really tough kind of character. So,
yeah, you know, one of the things I like about it, though, is that there's nothing more rewarding when you're done with a case than to have seen justice be done. Yeah. And I really mean that. It's when you walk into these cases, a lot of times, you know, you go in with the idea that you want to administer justice. But when you get to know the victim or you get to hear the victim's side, it becomes a lot more personal. But when it's done and it's over and you saw what you did for the victim, it's nothing more rewarding.
Best thing. Yeah, we were just talking about that, too, because, you know, I was telling you, I do some pro bono work, and I find that to be the most rewarding in a lot of ways. Not monetarily rewarding, because obviously you don't get paid for it. But it feels to actually see justice done, to see something, a good thing done, feels really good. Let me just finish up your bio here. You're also a board member of the Maricopa Police Foundation, and it says you're, in addition to all of that, you're at adjunct faculty at Mesa Community College, where you teach constitutional criminal procedure and criminal law. Those are some of my favorite subjects in law school.
Awesome.
It says you've been married for 17 years. You have two beautiful daughters, who I know are somewhat difficult to get a hold of.
Yeah, I was just on the phone right now trying to get a hold of one of them. I'm sure she's there doing her homework listening to this.
I hope so. So, let me ask you this. How did you go from studying philosophy to pursuing a degree in law?
Well, you know, long story short, I never really expected to go into law from the beginning. I'd actually had every intention of going into dentistry. And it wasn't,
really?
Yeah, it wasn't until my undergrad, my alma mater, actually sent out my paperwork wrong. Actually, they had lost it. They didn't send it out. And I started getting these papers back from these dental schools saying, we'd like to consider you further, but, you know, we don't have any of your grades. We don't have any of the other stuff. And I thought, well, wait, that's weird, because I sent it out. I went back and checked, found out it was missing. My wife and I went in and talked to the Dean of Academic Affairs. Turns out that they had lost the packet. They had us come back a week later, and they had found the packet. Anyways, that's sort of the long version. But it eventually came down to within 2 weeks, because after that we set up a time frame 2 weeks later to come back and talk. We came back, and I had redirected my entire life from dental school to law school, because law schools were still accepting that year. Dental schools weren't. So,
you know what I think? I think the people who don't intend to be lawyers make the best lawyers. I have a natural suspicion of anybody who grows up wanting to be a lawyer.
I can understand that one.
I think people are pressed into the service. Honestly, they make the best lawyers. So, you know, once you did make that decision to become a lawyer, how'd you find your way into doing criminal law, and you know, what you've been doing for the past 9 years, prosecuting gangs?
Well, what's crazy is that once I got into law school and realized that your first year is made to suck, it's not.
I can vouch for that.
It's not made to be fun. I started hating it. I said, you know what? I don't even like this. I don't know why I did this. Yeah. I started questioning my graph that I had done, that I'd drawn with my wife to, you know, redirect my life. And I, after looking through it and deciding, you know what, I've put this much money in, I need to stay with it. I went back a year, and that's when I had my first criminal law class. And I said, you know what, this is where it's at. This is what I love. And from there on out, I knew that it was going to be, I did, you know, criminal defense work for a short period. Quite frankly, I'm not that fond of it. I can do it. I look at it from a constitutional perspective, that I'm upholding the Constitution, but it's not fun. I like prosecuting. I like administering justice.
You'd rather be out there locking them up.
Right.
Yeah. I know. I've come across that too. I mean, you know, when you get into law, you have to really, at least at some point in your career, you got to kind of handle the other side. You know, you got to have some experience with, you know, for example, if you're a prosecutor, you should, you know, at some point you should get some experience with criminal defense. Just the way life is, and it's the way, you know, the law is. You always kind of see the other side of the coin. So what you do now, what you've been doing for the past 9 years, right?
Right.
Is prosecuting gangs down in Pinal County.
Actually, I've been prosecuting them in Maricopa County.
Oh, I'm sorry, in Maricopa County.
Yeah. I've lived in Pinal County for the past 7 years, and then for the past well, if you'd asked me a year and a half ago what I'd be doing today, I would tell you, well, I'd be looking forward to my pension in about 9 months, 10 months from now, not realizing that never having any intention of going into politics whatsoever. There was no way you could have drugged me into doing this if the guy in office was doing his job. But it wasn't until I started seeing the kind of cases that were coming out that were one after another, not just one, but numerous, where they'd actually shot at a cop, got probation for it.
Mm.
That doesn't happen in my world.
So you're talking about now the what's going on down in Pinal County, where who's the county attorney down there now?
The current county attorney is Jim Walsh.
All right.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll obviously spend a good deal of the show talking about what you would do if you are elected to be a county attorney, and what Jim Walsh has been doing wrong. Let's talk, because you know we got a lot of time here. Why don't we talk some more about what your background is? What does when you say you prosecute gang violence? What is that? What are you actually doing on a day to day basis?
You know, one of the things that I really like doing, and one of the things that they don't do, to my knowledge, down in Pinal County, is actually go out with the detectives. You actually go out with the gang detectives. So you'll actually be on call, and when you're on call, you could actually be called out to anywhere in Maricopa County, if you're working in Maricopa County, obviously. And you go out, you look at this crime scene. If it's a homicide, you walk through with the detectives through the homicide scene. If it's just a shooting case, you go through the crime scene, sort of replay what it was. You watch the detectives sort of figure it out. And you're sitting there watching it, just taking it in. The nice thing about that is, and the on-call, that's what's nice about the on-call that needs to be done in Pinal County, is that you actually have the ability to see what's going on before you have to charge it. You have to charge that case within 48 hours. Mm-hmm. So you have to be able to tell the court, or tell the defendant, I should say, what his charges are going to be that he's going to be facing. So if you have gone out and lived it, it's a lot easier than reading a few thousand pages that police are going to submit that for you to actually have to go in and write your charging documents from.
You know, when Sheriff Paul Bobeau was on the show last, I hope I'm saying that name right, by the way. Babu. All right, when Sheriff Paul Babu was on the show last week, he was talking a lot about that too, about being down on the ground and seeing what's really going on. You know, for him, it's what's going on in the jails. But for you as the county attorney, it would be what's going on with the detectives. And
right. Yeah, and the nice thing, what I've been doing, I guess the fun part is actually taking those cases from the beginning all the way into trial. My favorite part is actually being in the courtroom in trial.
All right. We got to take a break here in a little bit. But when we come back from the break, we'll talk about what it's like to take these kind of cases to trial. And by the way, just the mere fact that you have done that, I think, is incredibly good qualification to be county attorney. I mean, believe it or not, we have had county attorneys who shall remain nameless who had not even tried a case before they became county attorney.
That's right.
So this is Jack Wilinchek. I'm talking with Lando Voiles, who's running for county attorney in Pinal County. And this is Legalese on Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Here's an easy way to protect your memory, protect your brain, boost your brain power. Very special offer that's only available to our listeners. Call in the next 10 minutes. You'll qualify to receive a free bottle of Prevagen when you order two. That's right. Buy two, get the third bottle absolutely free. And by mentioning this program, you'll also get free shipping and handling. This is a fantastic offer. The number to call is 1-888-928-0028.
Dr. Bob, I also wanted to offer one extra thing, if I may. I want to include an absolutely free copy of our Brain Health Guide to anyone that calls in and orders today. And if you call in today, as a senior citizen, we're going to offer you a very special discount. People want to have practical advice to help understand what's going on with their brain.
You need to call to get started on Prevagen for a healthier brain, sharper mind, and clearer thinking. It's 1-888-928-0028. And look, you have absolutely nothing to lose because Prevagen is guaranteed to be safe and effective or your money back. 1-888-928-0028.
Right now at MyTrade America, you can get a barter line of credit from $2,000 to $50,000 with no credit check. We'll help you boost your business big time to lower your cash costs and generate new sales. with services available like advertising, website design, signage, and bookkeeping, and personal services like restaurant, auto repair, and vacation rentals. Get the barter line of credit you need today, $2,000 to $50,000 at MyTrade America, MyTradeAmerica.com. Fees and restrictions apply.
Hi, I'm Steve Cates, host of A Call to Rights here on KFNX. If you haven't heard our show every Saturday from noon to 2, you're missing out on the greatest in news, commentary, and guests discussing your rights under our Constitution. The latest updates on how to protect your rights from an out-of-control government. And you'll learn our most important motto, how never to be a victim. If you're concerned with the direction our country is going, tune in and learn how to help take it back. Take back your rights on A Call to Rights with me, Steve Cates, Saturdays at noon on KFNX.
Welcome back to Legalese. This is Jack Wilencheck, filling in for Dennis Wilencheck, and we're talking with Lando Voiles, who's running for county attorney in Pinal County. He's part of he's the law half of the Law and Order team with Sheriff Paul Babu, right?
That's right.
Thank you. That's the pronunciation. I keep getting it wrong. All right, before we went to the break, we were just talking about, I was saying the mere fact that you are a very real prosecutor, and that you have prosecutorial experience is a big plus. Believe it or not, there are county attorneys who have been elected who had absolutely never even tried a case before they were elected. To me, the fact that you are a prosecutor, you tell me you've had something like 120 trials. That is a very, very big plus for you. And I think it'll help you focus on what's really important to the job, because you know what that job is.
Exactly. Just based on the workforce that my opponent has in his office right now, he has about 44 attorneys, I believe, and all but two of them are actually doing criminal prosecution. So the majority of your caseload should be focused on prosecution. The rest of it's representing the county, and that's sort of what the county attorney does. To my knowledge, I don't even think my opponent has ever had a criminal prosecution caseload ever. I think I know he's been a defense attorney in the past, but I don't think he's ever been a criminal prosecuting attorney.
Isn't that something? I mean, that's just the way the political process works. You end up electing people who, really don't know the job, but they're good politicians. It's just the way that works.
Right, and I guess the downfall with that is that now we have people out on the street with us, walking around with us, who have shot at cops, who have committed all these major violent felons. We have kidnappers who have gotten 6 undesignated felonies. Now, if that doesn't mean anything to you, let me explain it. A 6 undesignated felony is like a misdemeanor. You can earn a misdemeanor off it. This is like a DUI, a first-time DUI. I'll give a better example, a shoplifting. If you've ever known someone who's shoplifted, they have a misdemeanor, class 1 misdemeanor. Now, take that and tell the victim that the crime that was committed against them was just like someone stealing out of a store. When these guys had AK-47s pointed at them, zip-tied, and all they... there's no justice there, I guess what I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, when I certainly hope that when people look, to cast their vote, I think you should really treat it like you're hiring somebody. You got to look at their qualifications. If you're going to hire somebody to be your county attorney, you want somebody who knows what he's doing, who knows how to be a prosecutor, and you want somebody who's done like 120 trials. I mean, you're telling me this, your opponent, Jim Walsh, he's done a little bit of criminal defense, and
well, he touts the fact that the person who was his mentor was John P. Franks. John P. Franks was the defense attorney for Miranda in Arizona versus Miranda. So who's the one that we got our Miranda rights from? You have the right to remain silent.
Right.
Anything you say can and will be used against you. So he touts that was his mentor, and he's treated this office sort of like that, in the sense that it's sort of like a defense firm almost, as opposed to actually prosecuting. My mentor was actually one of my mentors. There were several of them, but one of them was actually Larry Turoff, who's still in the office there at the county attorney's office. He was actually the prosecutor in that Arizona versus Miranda, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've got sort of this prosecution mentality where I believe there should be a policy that's implemented in that office that's not done right now. So all the prosecutors in there can do whatever they want to. They can, but and this is the problem. They can't do whatever they want to. And this is what I think is the major fallacy with not having a policy in the office. And I apologize for rambling, but
no, this is what politicians do. Please go ahead.
I deserve that.
No, well, we love it. Go ahead.
Well, this is what happens, okay? If you want to be a tough prosecutor in that office and you have a defense attorney that you have a case with and you tell that defense attorney, look, I'm not going to give you a good deal on your case. Your guy did something bad. I'm going to be hard-nosed on this and force your guy into prison. Well, then all of a sudden they just have to go back and look at the record and they say, hey, wait a minute. I got a really sweet deal off of this guy, this other prosecutor, just so you know, a year ago or a few months ago. So then all of a sudden you see where this is going.
Right.
All of a sudden you now go to a supervisor and you say, hey, wait a minute, I got this sweet deal from this coworker, and if this guy doesn't give me the same deal, we're gonna have some media problems and you're gonna look really bad. And so is your boss gonna look really bad. So then you have
it gets worse and worse.
Exactly. You have an inability for the people in that office who really want to be strong prosecutors. You have an inability to actually be a strong prosecutor when you don't have a policy. So you have to implement a policy within that office, which there isn't one right now. That policy needs to go across the board and says, hey, look, if you shoot at a cop, you're not gonna get an offer. You're gonna go to trial. And you're going to have to face the full ramifications of the law. You're not going to get a plea deal that allows you to get out on intensive probation, which I have the case to show that he did. It's insane. It just makes me sick.
No, you got to get tough. And, I know Pinal County has some real issues just based on what the sheriff was saying on the last show with exactly the type of stuff you deal with gangs and down there, you've got the Mexican cartels even are active.
Right,
in Pinal.
Right. And having prosecuted these cartels, I know that when they are caught with a load of drugs, that's not their first rodeo. They've been there before. They know what they're doing. And when you prosecute these cases and let them back out, you prosecute them with the objective of just releasing them. Is sort of a catch and release is what my opponent's doing. If you do this catch and release game, then you have these same people coming out and aggravating the crimes. Now you have more crime because they commit the more crime. You have people who are retaliating against them when they're dangerous people. You have now a bigger problem than what you had before. So if you prosecute these cartels properly, if you prosecute these smugglers and gangs properly, then you can actually decrease that. You actually take out the most violent people. And you use the ones who aren't as violent to actually turn back around on their co-defendants and testify against them. There's a way to do that. The way to do it is not to give them probation, because they'd much rather have probation than testify against their buddy. Because if they testify against their buddy, that's a death sentence, actually. That's a death sentence because they're going to have to spend the rest of their life trying to hide from those people because they're going to kill them when they find them. So they're not going to easily testify against their friends. So you have to make that penalty. You have to make your plea offer tough enough if you're going to make a plea offer, or if you don't give an offer, you'll inevitably have one of them come to you and want to talk. And when you do, you can find more. Hey, look, out of the last 10 trials that I had, 7 of them were literally plea to the courts. They walked in and pled to the entire indictment. And in several of those, a couple of them actually, one of them, we actually had 3 leads on murders that we had absolutely no leads on before because I prosecuted this way. So it's a huge difference in what's being done right now.
Yeah. You know, you got to get tough on these guys because like you say, I mean, they're in the business to do this kind of thing. That's why they call them a cartel. So you got to be tough on them. I can't do any kind of catch and release. I like that term.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right.
All right. So, you're just telling us about, maybe just for the audience's sake, you can explain how typically a prosecutor negotiates a plea deal and, the how and the why of how that goes down.
Well, yeah. First of all, if you have a case, the first thing you don't ever want to do is you don't ever want to give away the farm in a plea offer. I mean, if you give away the farm in a plea offer, you're going to lose justice completely. You'll never be able to get that person to realize the strength of the law. Right now, the criminals in Pinal County don't fear my opponent. Mm-hmm. They don't. There's no way they can fear him because they know they get probation if they get busted down there. So you have to set it strong enough so that they understand that what they did was wrong. And if it's bad enough, sometimes you don't deserve an offer. Like I said before, if you shoot at a cop, you're the most dangerous person in our community. You're willing to die for your cause. That's a militant. If you're willing to die for your cause, you don't get an offer. You shouldn't be back out on the street with us. You should be away. You should be off the street and keep my family and the communities that we live in safe. And the only way to do that is to lock them up, because they get back out, they're going to do it again.
Yeah.
But when you give an offer, you have to keep that in mind when you give an offer.
I know it almost seems obvious, but yeah, you got to be tough on these guys. All right. So just to talk about the process some more. Part of what the prosecutorial agency does is they recommend sentencing. So I think what you've been saying is that you would be advocating for, you would have tougher policies for that too.
Right, absolutely. And you know, this is the deal. If you have a policy that requires prison on your plea, you can actually force the judge's hands, tie the judge's hands, and make them give the person prison. I think right. A lot of people don't understand that. A lot of people think, well, wait a minute, doesn't the judge decide the sentence? Yes, to an extent. But the legislature has already put into play a certain framework for us to work within. So if you shoot at a cop, you get 7, 10 and a half, 21 years. It's in that range, minimum of 7 years. Let the judge decide that it's worth 7 years instead of just give them a probation offer. Let the judge determine it's 7 years instead of just flat out give them 7 years on it. So you can actually work within that time frame and force them into that time, force the judge into that time frame. If you have a policy within your office that says every single one of my prosecutors has to give an offer that's mandatory prison if it's a dangerous gun case, for example, or if it's a shooting at a cop, you're not going to get an offer. Then you force them into trial, and after they're done and get a conviction, the judge has to sentence them to that time frame.
Yeah, no, people don't realize just in general the power that the county attorney really has. You know, there's a lot of discretion to what they do, and you know, a tough county attorney can do a lot of good. Obviously, we got to take a break here in a little bit. We're talking with Lando Voiles, who's running for county attorney in Pinal County. He's the law half of the Law and Order team with Sheriff Paul Babu. When we come back from the break, we'll keep talking with him about how he's going to change what's going on down there. This is Jack Wilczek of KFNX 1100 AM.
NBC News Radio, I'm Alex Witt. Going off a cliff would be painful, even if it is only a fiscal cliff. So says the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office, which is predicting dire consequences if Congress can't find a way to keep tax cuts from expiring and spending cuts from taking place. CNBC's Eamon Javers.
GDP, the CBO is saying, will contract by 0.5% after we go over the fiscal cliff. That'll produce a recession similar to the one that we had in the early 1990s, and they say unemployment would rise to 9.1%.
There was some positive news on the housing front today. Walter Maloney of the National Association of Realtors says the month of July was a good one.
We saw sales rise in every region but the West, where inventory is really tight. And we now have had 5 consecutive months of prices rising above year-ago levels, which we haven't seen in 6 years.
Stocks climbed back from their low point of the day. The Dow was off 31, the NASDAQ was up 6 points, and the S&P gained a fraction. This
Arizona News Radio, more heavy rains today prompting flooding concerns from Phoenix all the way west to the California border.
We've got an extremely moist air mass over us, and we've had, you know, rain, some very heavy rains in some areas over the past couple of days.
The Arizona Poison and Drug Information Center reports rattlesnake bites at their highest level in 3 years. Daniel Marchant from the Arizona Herpetological Society.
We're just getting a lot more unfortunate encounters between people and snakes.
Maricopa County Attorney Bill Montgomery says new charges against Michael Crane, the man accused of killing an elderly Paradise Valley couple and then setting fire to their home.
Obviously, with hindsight, you wish you could have done more. You know, those words alone are not going to help deal with the tragedy.
Pinal County Sheriff's deputies arrest 2 people from Cochise County on drug charges.
They want to make money doing these kinds of activities, bringing dangerous drugs in and through our county.
George Tanner, Arizona News.
This check of your KFNX traffic is a service of the 99 Cent Only Store. Look for a wreck on the on-ramp westbound Loop 101. That is at 75th Avenue. Also, we have a collision on the Carefree Highway just east of I-17 in Chandler. Look for an accident Arizona Avenue south of the 202 and another wreck, Pecos Road west of Gilbert. Looking for the best deals on back-to-school basics? Look no further. 99 Cent Only Stores has kids' tees, knee-highs, and three packs of kids' socks for only 99.99 cents each.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. Well, widely scattered showers late this afternoon, this evening in outlying valley areas and other parts of the central and southern deserts, but some could be heavy with some hail. Then we'll have more showers and thunderstorms tomorrow. We'll dry things out Friday into the weekend. Jim Howell, Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Thanks, Jimmy. Currently we're at 88 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. You're listening to Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. I'm Chet Reynolds. You're up to date.
I have the answer. Call me for this link and you will call me back. I have the answer. Who was the dynamic leader that history tells us that when he went to meet his maker, that his eyes were not dim nor his vigor abated? I have the answer. I urge you, choose science and not celebrities in your pursuit of an active lifestyle well beyond statistical predictions. I have the answer. Is your energy level low and your health insurance costs high? I have the answer. Tired of buying grocery store produce from third world countries that have been sprayed with who knows what? I have the answer. I have nutrient dense, locally grown produce, and so much more. It costs a few bucks, but it's worth $1 million. Charisma culture is our name, and applying gifts is our game. I have the answer. 602-762-2601. 602-762-2601. 602-762-2601.
Hi folks, Greg Schulte here for Legends Cadillac in North Scottsdale. As you all know by now, my favorite baseball saying is, you can touch them all, especially when it's our favorite hometown team. Well, at your favorite hometown team, Legends Cadillac, you can also touch them all. Get behind the wheel of that sporty CTS coupe. Experience the luxury and performance of a truly great car. Check out the outstanding lease program available right now and see for yourself how affordable that Cadillac really is. Not to be outdone is the world's most popular luxury crossover, the SRX. Four different option packages specifically designed for every driver's wants and needs. And rounding third, the Cadillac Escalade. Legends has the best selection in the Western region with factory incentives and great leasing options on every model. Everyone loves the first place team, and Legends of North Scottsdale is doing it right. Legends, it's like no place else.
Welcome back to Legalese. This is Jack Wilinchek. And I've been talking with Lando Voiles, who's running for the county attorney in Pinal County. We've talked about his background. He's been a prosecutor up here in Maricopa County for many years, tried over 120 cases. And he specializes in the toughest stuff he can get. He prosecutes cartels, gangs, real tough stuff. So welcome back to the show, Lando.
Thanks again, Jack.
Before we went to the break, we were talking about, you know, some of the finer points, really, of what a prosecutor does. And, you know, being that you've got so much experience, you know, you're in a good position to explain to the audience exactly what the county attorney does. The county attorney has a lot of power that people don't really realize, both in terms of affecting the sentences that people get, and obviously he has a lot of discretion just in choosing what cases to pursue.
Absolutely.
And I know you were saying that you think the guy that's there right now, he just isn't tough enough.
That's exactly the problem. I don't think that he necessarily has any reason not to be tough. I think it's either one, he just doesn't know how, or two, he just doesn't want to, doesn't feel like it. No. I don't know which one it is. But I would tend to lean towards the side that says that he may not know how, quite frankly, because I look at the kind of cases that are coming to his office, and it appears as though he doesn't understand that he needs to train some of the newer prosecutors in his office how to review some of these cases that are coming in, because a lot of these cases that are coming in are being turned down, and I read them and I think, wow, this is a good case. Mm-hmm. And I think it may be because, and I know that I think it may be because of the lack of training, but I think this also, from another perspective, having talked to deputies, some of the deputies who actually go around and train some of the other law enforcement agencies, and I hear back from them, and some of the things they say is that, for example, one of them is that they're going around trying to explain how to look at strangulation. You know, strangulation now is a class 5 felony. A few years ago, it was just a misdemeanor.
I think Sheriff Babu was just talking about that in the last show, how he's training his deputies on that.
Yeah. Well, what's crazy is that these cases are getting to the prosecutor's office right now, and they're being turned down. And I think one of the reasons may be is because they just don't know what to look for. I know some of them do. Some of them are very experienced attorneys in there. But I think that some of them who may be reviewing it don't know what to look for. Because you'll see sometimes you won't just have, like, hand marks around a neck. Sometimes you have what it looks like someone came in and punched someone in the face, and it looks like black eyes. And that's actually a symptom of strangulation. If you've been strangled long enough, you also have what they call petechiae. You have like little red bleeds of blood on your eye. Uh-huh. And little dots around your eye that are signs of strangulation. And if you don't know it when you see it, then you say, oh, well, this looks more like a misdemeanor. Send it to the city. And you completely overlook a violent offender who's released back out in the street again and around us again. And that's not right. So.
Yeah, no, it's a sad thing because, you know, early in the show we're saying, well, you know, county attorneys are elected and, you know, really it's not like, you know, somebody can get in there who just has never tried a case and has no qualifications. And it's kind of a scary thing that, you know, somebody can get in there who doesn't understand, you know, the things that you're saying, these little tips and tricks of being a real prosecutor and understanding, you know, for example, you know, how to tell when somebody's been strangled. It's kind of a sad and scary thing that somebody can still get elected not understanding all that and run an office down there, which is what you're saying is, you know, the situation we've got.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you look at the fact that he has 93% of his workforce doing criminal prosecution and only 7% is doing civil work for the county, then why isn't there more attention placed on the criminal side to give us safety? This is the only reason I'm doing this. There's no way you could drag me into politics other than that.
I can tell that. I can tell you're not a slick politician. I like that. Well, you know, you said something else earlier that I think is very true too. I mean, the way a person is, you know, what they've been doing. I mean, you were saying that the current county attorney in Pinal County has been doing a lot of criminal defense. And, you know, when you've been doing something for a career, it kind of molds your personality in a lot of ways. You know, my dad likes to talk about how originally he was a Democrat way back when. And then, you know, when he became a lawyer, he found himself representing a lot of businessmen, and businessmen tend to be Republicans. And, you know, he just his career kind of molded who he was and you know, his outlook on life. You know, if you've been doing criminal defense for a long time, my point is, I think you tend to be a little soft on crime.
Yeah, and I think that's what's happened. Even when he was appointed as our given a job as the chief deputy for the attorney general's office, he wasn't doing any criminal prosecution there. He was actually appointed to this job, I think, quite frankly, as sort of a political favor in 2007. And I don't have any facts to back that up, but it looks like it. Mm-hmm. I got to say, it does look like it. But in 2007, he was given the job. And then in 2008, he ran unopposed. So he's never had an election to be challenged.
Right.
And so.
Well, you're just the guy to challenge him.
Well, thanks. I sure hope so.
All right. You know, we've got some time here on the show. Let me ask you, why did you team up with Sheriff Paul Babu? I finally got that right. Paul Babu.
Well, I got to say, you know, if you look at his credentials and you look at what he's done, he has been the only person who I've seen, you know, aside from probably Sheriff Joe, who's actually stood up against the federal government and said, this isn't right. You're supposed to, you know, like the senator from Texas said one time, he said, I forgot the name who it was, so forgive me, but he said, you know, the only things we want from our federal government is we want them to secure our borders, we want them to keep us safe, and then we want them to get the hell out of our lives.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the same.
Barry Goldwater used to say something like that.
Yeah. Kind of the same idea here, you know. Come protect our border. Do what you're supposed to do and protect our border. And they're not. So here we have people coming in, and I have friends who are farmers down in Casa Grande, and they have closed their farms down because the federal government has come in and hung signs up in those areas saying that this isn't safe anymore for travel. That's ridiculous. Now we're giving up our land to a non-entity. Look, I love Mexico. I have no problems with Mexico. I have problems with the cartels who are stealing the land. This isn't about a fight between us and Mexico. This is a fight about our land. And if you want to come in and buy it and come in through our front door, great. I love that. There's nothing wrong with that. That's what our whole country was built on, was people like that. But when we have people just coming in and we say, you know what, this isn't safe anymore, let's just shut this down. No, no, there is no fight or flight in those situations for me. It's just a fight.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys are definitely on the serious end of, you know, the whole immigration issue, dealing with the cartels down there. I mean, you know, to me, I tend to kind of fall in the center of the whole issue, but I absolutely see that as the most serious, you know, side of it is keeping these guys out of the country, you know, these drug gangs and what they've been doing. So let me ask you generally, you know, what do you expect to accomplish if you're elected county attorney in Pinal County?
One of the first things that I plan to do, I plan to walk into the office with a policy in hand, and I'm going to implement an office-wide policy, and that policy will essentially tell the prosecutors the minimum that they can plead a case out to in specific circumstances. So in other words, this isn't about throwing everybody in prison, and I want to make sure that's clear. I want to send the most violent people to prison. Right now we have two studies. We have APAC, Arizona Prosecuting Attorney Advisory Council, and we have Arizona Republic. They both did studies, and in those studies they found that if you put away the most violent felons, your crime rate decreases. We like, duh, right?
Yeah. We're all thinking that.
But the other side to that, and the more important part of that study, was that it actually decreases the number of people in prison. So when people say, wait a minute, if you put all these bad guys in prison, we're going to like crowd the prisons. No, right. That's false. Absolutely false statistically, is that you actually put the violent people in prison, and one, it's a deterrent, and two, you avoid these retaliation attacks that put other people in prison as well. So you actually take the most violent people out, take them off the street, you keep us safe, you decrease crime, you decrease the number of people in prison.
Wow, that's, yeah. No, it's people, you don't realize that, you know, people think you get too tough on crime and, you know, you just got too many people in prison, but no, it's, you know, I'm a mathematician. I like little statistical things like that, so I appreciate
awesome.
Appreciate you bringing that up. All right, I'm talking with Lando Voiles, who's running for county attorney in Pinal County. We got one more segment here. When we come back, we'll talk some more about what you expect to accomplish if you're elected county attorney. This is Jack Wilinchek on KFNX 100 AM.
Since 1991, the law offices of Wilinchek & Bartness have provided the quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Wilinchek & Bartness focus on cases involving breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Wilinchek & Bartness today at 602-606-2810. That's 602-606-2810.
Did you know short sales can erase all home loan debt?
Don't walk away. Many banks and the government now pay sellers to complete short sales.
I'm Rick Elton.
And I'm Dave Elton. Elton Realty has served the Valley for over 15 years.
Every short sale is different. Outcomes are not guaranteed.
Call for a free consultation that best serves your situation and get a fresh start today.
480-451-3318. That's 480-451-3318.
Or visit eltonrealty.com.
Did you know that more than 65% of corporations on the New York Stock Exchange are using barter? In fact, more than 470,000 companies in the U.S. participate in barter. What do they know that you don't? Think you know barter? Think again. With Premier Barter, the Valley's fastest growing and most business-friendly barter company, you can gain access to a network of more than 40,000 companies. Through Premier Barter, you can expand your customer base and generate barter dollars, which can be spent through hundreds of companies locally and thousands of companies nationwide. Almost anything you can think of, things you're currently buying for cash, can be acquired with barter. Visit www.premierbarter.com. It will be the best business decision you ever make. 602-470-8020. That's 602-470-8020. More than 470,000 companies in the U.S. participate in barter. What do they know that you don't? Call Premier Barter today. That's 602-470-8090. PremierBarter.com.
I was gambling in Havana.
Welcome back to the show. This is Jack Wilinchek. You're listening to Legalese. And I've been talking to Lando Voile, who's running for County Attorney in Pinal County. Welcome back to the show, Landel.
Thanks.
And, you know, just over the break, you were telling me something kind of shocking. I think I was saying to you that, you know, I said before on the show, when you have a certain mindset, you know, you've been saying that this county attorney down there has done criminal defense for a very long time. I think when you're of a certain mindset, it's very hard to break that mindset. I mean, if you've been doing criminal defense, you're just naturally oriented to thinking, you know, well, whatever they did isn't so bad, you know, that you can defend it.
Right.
So, you said, I mean, that's led to some pretty scary consequences down there in Pinal County.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. In fact, I think the example you're referring to is I spoke with one individual in one town who is actually a Democrat and mentioned that he knew and everybody knew that an individual that he saw almost every day was a murderer, and they saw him out on the street. This is a problem that's not a first time. If it was a one-time deal, then maybe you could say, oh, well, you know, maybe the facts just weren't strong enough in that case, and so they just couldn't prosecute it yet. I understand that. But when it's over and over, and you see this kind of thing happening over and over, no. I have a case just recently that I researched, and it was a guy who had actually beaten his girlfriend with a dangerous instrument. And then a year later, he's now back in the – and they gave him a misdemeanor on it. He came back a year later. He's now pointing guns at people. Now they gave him – a 6 undesignated, which he can earn a misdemeanor on it. Really? Is that justice? No.
No. Well, I understand there's a lot of cases that are they're just flat out dismissed down there in Pinal County. I've got a statistic here, 61%. I'm not sure what that refers to, though. Maybe you know.
Yeah. Actually, this is a study that my team did, and this is a what we did was we went back into 2010 and 2011, and we took every single case that had a disposition during that time frame, meaning it had been sentenced, so it was completed. We took every one of those cases, and in those cases, we learned that in 2011 and in 2010, 61% of the most violent felons, these are mandatory prison cases, were being released or dismissed. Now, this is after a grand jury had already determined there's enough facts to go to trial, or in the alternative, a court in a preliminary hearing already determined there's enough facts to go to trial. This is after the prosecutor had already agreed to prosecute it because they had to do that before they took it to grand jury. And this is after they had already gotten up ready to go to trial. And then all of a sudden, they either pled out the most dangerous felons that you could have tied the judge's hands on, like I was explaining mm-hmm. earlier. If they want to, all they do is give a plea. If they're going to give a plea, give them a plea that's mandatory prison and force the judge to send them to prison, because they're in a bracket already that should force them to prison if they're convicted on that crime. But when you're giving probation on it, they have no incentive to correct their life. They have no deterrent. There's no reason to fear the county attorney.
Sure. So these are basically cases that that should have been taken to trial and weren't.
Yes. Now, mind you, this is actually not including aggravated DUIs. I didn't include those. I didn't include escape, smuggling, or methamphetamine cases. And the reason I didn't include those in this study was because methamphetamine, you have to meet a certain threshold before you actually make it mandatory prison. In your escape and your smuggling, there's some small instances where it wouldn't be necessarily mandatory prison. And then you have your DUIs, which you actually serve 4 months in prison if you get convicted of an aggravated DUI. And I didn't include any of those. I've now since gone back and looked at the ag DUIs. Those are pathetic also. I mean, yeah. He's literally turned those back into a misdemeanor and a what we call a reckless. I'm sorry, an endangerment. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. And a just a misdemeanor. So they're basically getting they're avoiding the prison time on almost every single aggravated DUI. So if you know, want to commit a crime, you know what county to go to now.
Yeah. Well, not for long, right?
There you go. That's right.
All right, so if you're elected, you know, I think you've talked a little bit about it, but what will you change within the first 100 days?
Like I said before, one of the first things I'll change is change the policy. I'll actually implement a policy, not change it. I'll just give one.
There isn't one now.
Right, exactly. And another thing that I'll do is I'll structure the office to actually go to trial. Right now, I think they only have like 2 paralegals. And the 2 okay, yeah, crazy, right? I saw the look on your face. I mean, you have in a normal prosecuting office, you would have 1 paralegal for every 2 attorneys. Right. And that would be enough to actually set you up to go to trial. If you have two paralegals for 44 attorneys, no wonder they can't go to trial. We're not even giving these attorneys in the office. We're not even giving them a fighting chance to go to trial if that's how you're set up. So it needs to be restructured. There does need to be a new structure for it. But the number one thing, the number one issue is actually implementing a policy that requires basic things. Like if you kill someone, you do not get probation. If you kill someone, you're going to go to prison for a very, very long time, if not life, or, you know, get the death penalty for it. Or in the alternative, if you have done something that isn't as bad, say it's your first time possession of marijuana, then maybe that's something that's worthy of a misdemeanor, right? I mean, I'm not going to sit there and I use that just, I'm sure that's probably like a hot topic with medical marijuana out there, but I don't mean to like touch on a hot topic there, but you get the idea. I mean, it's not going to be, look, if you commit a crime, everybody goes to prison. It's not like that.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you generally, just what are your political views? Obviously, you're a Republican, but where do you stand on some of the other big issues? I think we talked a little bit about immigration. Clearly, you favor tougher enforcement.
Right. You know, and I would consider myself a constitutional constructionist, so I actually believe that the way the Constitution was written is the way it was meant. If you want to change it, then amend it. And mm-hmm. I'm a strong believer in that. There's no reason why we should be amending it in the courts. Mm-hmm. So,
all right. You know, we mentioned earlier on the show that you're teaming up with Sheriff Paul Babiou. And why don't you talk a little bit about how, you know, obviously the county attorney and the sheriff have to have a certain working relationship. So why don't you talk about what that working relationship consists of?
Great, yeah. You know, it's kind of interesting because I've heard some, you know, backlash about how this is, you know, going to disrupt the checks and balances in our government. Hey, look, sheriff and the county attorney are in the same branch of government.
Right, yeah.
They're both the executive branch.
Right.
So they should work together. There should be some...
It's like the president and the attorney general. I mean,
yeah, exactly. They shouldn't be fighting each other on issues. Right now they're fighting each other on issues, and that's not the way it should be. You know, my opponent actually said that he welcomed a lawsuit against my friend, Sheriff Paul Babiou, when it came to Senate Bill 1070. He welcomed that lawsuit. That's just ridiculous. That you shouldn't be welcoming it against your own client when you think about the relationship that attorney should have with their client.
Right.
And here he is welcoming it. No, you need to have a working relationship, and that relationship, if it works correctly, then when you're on the battlefield, you fight together. When you come off the battlefield, you make a plan as to how you're going to fight it next time. And if you make a mistake working that out, you have a plan at least. So, and right now there's nothing like that. You don't have any kind of meeting of the minds, it appears, between the county attorney and the sheriff down there.
That's a sad thing. I mean, even for purposes of just doing your job, obviously, you know, the sheriff works up the cases and then the county attorney prosecutes them. So it's critical to have a working relationship.
Absolutely. That's the way it should be. That's the way the system's set up.
Mm-hmm. And on your Facebook page, you say that you'll serve as a professional, not as a politician. So what do you mean by that?
Well, like I said before, my opponent was actually appointed in 2007. He ran unopposed in 2008. My outlook on this is when I get in, this is not going to be an administrative position. I'm not going to go in there to try to get another political office. This is what I want to do. I'm done with politics when I'm in this office, other than running again to make sure that this county is safe. There's running again for county attorney, I should say.
Yeah.
There is no reason for me to look outside of that. That's what I want to do. I'm not going to be in there to try to, you know, go on whatever political show to try to beef up my stats. I want to be in the courtroom. I'm a trial attorney. That's what I love. I've lived in the courtroom for the past 9 years. Ask any of my friends back at the county attorney's office. That's what I love doing. If I wasn't in trial, I would get down in the dump sometimes because I love trial that much. So I won't use this as an administrative position, and I won't use this as a political springboard somewhere else. This is what I want to do. This is what I came to do. I want to clean up the streets, and I want to make it safer for my family and our communities.
I like that. Yeah, too many times you wind up with politicians, these kind of jobs that just look as some kind of stepping stone to the next job, or we're not even really qualified to do it. And as I was saying earlier in the show, you know, at least when I vote, I like to pretend like I'm hiring the person. And, you know, you got to hire somebody who's qualified. Again, you've been saying the show. You don't think the guy you're running against is qualified.
That's exactly right. I don't think he is. I think he would be a great defense attorney. I think he would. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what he's been most of his life. And I think that we need someone who's willing to go in there and face this crime, face this problem that we have, just face it, turn into the fight, as has been said so often, right? Turn into the fight. Don't walk away from it. Don't sit back and let it just happen. When we have people committing their crimes in Pinal County because they know that they're going to get probation when they get busted, we have a problem in Pinal County. And right now, that's our problem. We can't let this keep going. Right now, we have one of the biggest corridors, in fact, the biggest corridor based on some of the studies I've done, the biggest corridor in the entire United States that goes right up through Pinal County.
Yeah, scary stuff. All right, I want to thank you, Lando Voiles, for coming on the show. Again, you're running for county attorney down there in Pinal County. I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you, Jack. And if anybody wants to reach me, they can reach me at Voiles, the number 4, county attorney, at voilesforcountyattorney.com.
There you go, voilesforcountyattorney.com, V-O-Y-L-E-S.
Thanks, Jack.
Absolutely. All right, this is Jack Wilenchek, sign off in Legalese, Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
My name is Denver Noas with EquityForProfit.com. If you're like most Americans, the IRS is going to get at least 20 to 30% of your retirement income, maybe more. Your IRA, your 401k, your SEP, deferred comp are all 100% taxable as income when you take it out. And with taxes only going up, most people pay more in taxes than they ever earned on their investments. If all you're doing is saving into taxable accounts, it's time to learn how to build tax-free wealth and take advantage of a massive IRS-approved tax shelter most people never use. Go to EquityForProfit.com and stop paying so much in taxes.
The Phoenix housing market is finally hot again. And if you're under contract to buy a house and you're afraid your current lender cannot close on time, you need to give us a call today. We're Alliance Financial Resources, and we're a local mortgage bank, and we've got great rates, we've got great communication, and we've got the speed you need to close on time. Give us a call for your approval today. 602-772-3154. Again, 602-772-3154. We're an equal housing lender.
You're listening to Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX, Cape Creek, Phoenix, the home of Laura Ingraham, weekdays 6 to 9 a.m., KFNX News Time. It's 5 o'clock.